You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hey, hi, how are you? I'm Jamie Flam, and I'm the artistic director of the Hollywood Improv. Basically, that means I'm the one responsible for booking comedians, producing shows, and making sure every night at the club is magical. You might even call me the gatekeeper. Okay, so not really, but maybe, I don't know. Outside of my job at the Improv, I also perform and write comedy, which means I sit in front of many gatekeepers myself. It's an interesting dynamic, but it's helped me learn a lot as well. Now I host a podcast about it. Each week I talk with bookers, producers, decision makers, performers, and more.
Hey, this is Cole Stratton.
This is Janet Varney.
This is Troy Conrad.
This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to Gatekeeper.
It's an inside look at the art of saying yes and no. Also, there are sound effects. Be sure to subscribe to Gatekeeper on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find more info at sideshownetwork.tv.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And here we are again, and we actually have a very special guest in the studio.
Well, we're actually using the studio, too.
Yeah, well, first off, we're in the studio.
Because that's where we have a guest, so
we
it
do.
Makes sense
we
to
do.
Actually do something nice and not use a...
Not be besieged by cats.
Yeah, be besieged by cats and stuff outside, you know, like sirens and car accidents and wrestling.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
But, so we should introduce our guest. This is the man, the myth, the legend, Sean's brother, Brian Merrick. Hi, Brian.
Hi, everybody. How are we doing today?
All the way from Buffalo.
That was a really intense intro for my brother.
Would you just be like, yo, Brian's here, whatever?
I was going to be like, hey, it's my brother, Brian. You're, I mean, granted.
We've mentioned him on the podcast before, so I feel that it was
actually true. It's true.
Fair.
And he's actually able to.
What? Yeah, I do feel like the listeners probably have some sort of a relationship with me already from the stories that you've told already.
Exactly. So.
Interestingly, too, like he can refute or support many of the stories I've told on this podcast, you know, such as meeting Hulk Hogan's brother.
I, too, have met him. I don't know if it was the same brother, but I, too, have met Hulk Hogan's brother.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like I'm trying to think what's like a Doctor Who kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
where there's been multiple Hulk Hogan brothers that the Merricks have met over the years.
Mrs. Hogan just had a lot of kids.
She had a lot of kids. She just sent them out to Cheektowaga to meet us.
Yeah, that sounds right. But yeah, so Brian is here hanging out with us, going to talk about some shitty comic books.
Yeah, we're about to go to Kamikaze too, so we're going.
Oh, I know. LA Comic Con.
What the fuck? It? I ain't calling it comic. Whatever.
I feel like there's a rant coming.
No, I'm just disappointed that I have to call it something different because Stan Lee's like, yeah, hey, he's like, hey, true believers, I'm gonna die soon, but you know, I don't want to have something named after, you know, yeah,
change is hard.
Yeah, it's just named after you know, something from World War II, you know. You probably realize what people are calling it, Kamikaze, you know.
I mean, I'm sure somebody probably mentioned it to him when it happened, and he's kind of like, yeah, whatever, let's roll with it and see what happens. And then enough people probably complained about it where they decided to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, at least Comic-Con's making progress as opposed to, you know, the Washington Redskins.
True. This is true.
Yeah.
So, Brian, how's your visit to L.A. been so far?
It's been pretty good. I mean...
We aren't driving you too crazy.
No, I mean, I'm getting to experience a lot. It's always fun to come out West Coast and just kind of relax and get a whole different vibe. Sometimes in Buffalo and everything else, everybody can be a little too uptight sometimes. I think maybe it's because we're dealing with all this weird weather, as everybody likes to point out. But even then, the weather really isn't that bad out there. So
we mean weird weather, like because it's... it's still warm?
Because it just bounces up and down so much, so people don't have know what to do. Whereas out here, like, it's a pretty consistent thing, so people can kind of like actually like,
this is true,
relax and not have to worry about if they need a coat in the morning or whatever.
No, it's true. It's true. I had that issue in Boston a lot, trying to figure out like whether or not you need a coat. You know, like what kind of coat?
Yeah, if it was ever going to be fucking warm again.
I think there was that one year when you and I were first dating that we were just like, when is it going to be warm?
Yeah, it was May and I was still wearing like the full on like hat glove combo. I was freezing my ass off and I was like, this is it. This is the ice age. Yeah. It's over. But we're all going to die.
What are you looking at?
No, I was trying not to cough.
Oh, I thought you saw something that I need to report.
Okay. Yes, there's ghosts up in the studio.
You know, technically, there is.
What, people have died up here?
Well, no, but, you know, many of psychic have come through here to report that there are ghosts in this in the improv. A lot of the big stars.
Oh, of course, the big ones, not the little ones.
Yeah, not the...
Not people who just hung out here all the time and never made it.
Not the open micers, you know, not Jimmy Kaboom Smith, whoever that is.
He's not allowed to come in. He's sitting outside on the street.
He's like, somebody let me in.
He's haunting the street.
There's a ghost bouncer.
He's haunting Paul Smith down the street. But apparently, like, you know, like the Robin Williams.
And, I'm certain.
Andy Kaufman.
Not with his family.
No.
Just haunting here. Uh-huh. Well, it is Halloween weekend, so.
That's true. So who knows? Spooky.
Yeah, we did talk about ghosts last week. I think it's appropriate to talk about ghosts this week. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we will, but since it's past Halloween, we're not going to talk about Halloween very much because when this releases, it'll be November 1st and it'll be quite lame to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You should talk about going to, you know, is it the day after church or the day after Halloween, you have to go to church?
Yeah, it's All Saints Day.
All
something.
Saints Day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to church.
All right. So what are we talking about?
Okay. So we're going to start with, just as a heads up. So Brian came to town and I was like, well, what are we going to read? And I was like, I don't know. So we just happened to go to Heidi Ho Comics, in Santa Monica, earlier this week. And I was like, hey, you're 50 Cent Bins, you pick two comics out that you think we should read. You pick out some comics and we'll do them. We'll pick from those. And so he picked the two comics we're doing today. So if you don't like this episode,
oh, okay,
you can blame him 100%. You know, this is
let's be honest, I think we probably would have picked these as
well. You know, I mean, we usually skew more towards it's a little bit older.
Well, that one, I don't know,
not how older, I mean, but young, I mean, not more recent for us, which
you know, that one.
This is the one that we're about to read, but
we've done some more recent ones.
We're hitting both ends of the 90s.
Yeah, see? So.
Well, I think that's because that's more your era, too, anyway.
But it's also, it's a hateable decade.
Because I was already out. See, I was like, this is 98, and I was already like, hey, I'm a man, I'm going to college. Let's do college radio and, like, wrestling.
Well, I mean, at that point, because this comic's from 98, at that point, I was also, like, in the midst of, like, you know, high school, underage drinking, doing my thing and everything else. So
yeah, you're being cool.
I wasn't exactly like reading comics either. I mean, I still was, but you know, it was slowly phasing out in my life. So
yeah. So, this one is, in fact, it is Heroes for Hire number 13 from July 1998. Yeah. So, and on the cover, this is, so apparently, yeah, they brought back Heroes for Hire. Because Luke Cage came, you know, and Iron Man got back, or Iron Fist got back together. And it's actually kind of convenient because apparently I think in this time they would just have like these gatefolds on the inside of Marvel books. Because we have another one that was similar to this. And it's actually really convenient because it kind of tells you, it's like, hey, here's some stuff that you should know. And like, you know,
I was supposed to read that.
Well, you can. You don't have to.
I totally skipped over
okay,
that.
Good. I read it. I read it. And I was slightly more informed going into it.
Oh well, I don't like information.
Continue. So Heroes for Hire number 13 from July 1998, besieged by the body of an android. That's a lot of words on the cover, and we got
this. Can I just say this cover? It hurts me to look at
because it's fucking.
There's a lot going on this cover.
There's way too much going on that I don't think goes on in this issue, anyways. Because that's kind of how comic book covers are. But it's got Ant-Man, who apparently is a part of this team, being grabbed
by slimy things.
Grabbed by a bunch of purple and yellow tentacles, and looks like he's in some sort of nucleus, and you know, and he's looks like he's being besieged.
I think they're supposed to be android cells.
Well, yeah. Okay, great.
But there's that, and then he is so muscly.
Yeah, he's way too ripped.
He's just, every single inch of him is covered by some sort of muscle that I'm sure, if you looked at an anatomy textbook, does not exist.
Well, he has like three tricep muscles.
Yeah.
This is Scott Lang.
Yeah.
Ant-Man too.
So? Doesn't matter. Was he also part of the WBF?
I mean, maybe Scott Lang is a little more muscly than Hank Pym. I mean,
yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, there's
Hank Pym's a doctor. He can afford to eat a sandwich and be okay.
But like, if you look at his thighs, like, there shouldn't be that many muscles.
Yeah, what are these muscles? Like,
that's not real. That's not a thing. Unless this guy's one of the what are those, like, those there's some sort of like genetic mutation that gives you extra muscles.
Yeah, that's like that one kid.
There's a cow that has that.
Oh, there's a kid that had it, and then he's apparently super strong, and he just eats all the time, and I think he's going to become Brock Lesnar Jr.
Oh, okay.
I think Brock Lesnar has that problem.
No, Brock Lesnar's just a slab of meat.
No,
that's his problem. But yeah, so I mean, and then there's like things flying towards him. It's just, there's a lot
going on. It's a very busy, very busy, loud cover.
Yeah, it's very loud.
So anyways, previously in this, well, fuck it, I ain't gonna talk about it.
Yeah, nobody cares about previously.
Who cares about that? Well, if we wanted to tell you about what happened previously, we would have read that book.
No, we don't do that here.
We
don't do research.
This was written by John Ostrander, which apparently, I feel like this is slumming it for him. Because he's kind of used to writing like very like heady stuff for like, you know, like DC. Like he did the Hawk World, he did Spectre. You know, and here he is writing fucking muscle Ant-Man.
Sure.
But anyways, Fallout is the name of the book and name of the story. And it looks like we got a bunch of missiles or pods.
Like pods.
Yeah, pods screaming into the...
They're coming into Earth. And there's like these little narration boxes about like, oh, should it be this hot for us to enter the atmosphere? You're like, yes.
Who's doing this?
I don't know. There's just narration boxes. I'm not sure if it's...
Maybe they're communicating with each other through them or something.
Maybe. Or like it's some sort of like omniscient narrator, which is weird because comic books don't have it. And yeah. I don't know. It's so they crash and they're like, there's no parachutes. Oh, no. And so they crash. But everybody seems okay.
And there's also a very actually, I think Jim Ross is doing it because it says, oh, my God, they're all dead. I think Jim Ross is narrating this.
Is that what it is? Is Jim Ross just like watching this as it's coming down? Oh my God, there's no parachute.
He's broken in half.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Ross, you know.
So they crash.
And then we get all the people from the Heroes of Fire. There's like 30 of them.
There's like Luke Cage.
So we get Hercules, who apparently is a part of this group.
I think this is like right when the Avengers were kind of problems.
It's around Heroes Reborn. Yeah. So like there's a bunch of stuff that's been, you know, but the Marvel Universe has been kind of thrown into disarray because Onslaught and destroyed all these heroes and all the Avengers and the X-Men and all these people like went away. But I think like the rest of the universe, Marvel Universe, 616 stayed the same. And then eventually everybody came back, you know?
Yeah.
Because reasons.
Sure. Comic books.
Yeah. So, but we got, you know, we got Hercules. We got Black Knight for some reason. He's in there. And apparently, I didn't know he was a scientist.
Well, we find that out later.
I didn't realize. I just thought he was always.
I think everybody is a scientist.
I'd say when in doubt, if a superhero is something, just make him a scientist.
Yeah. They have to be. They have to be a scientist.
Yeah. And then we got, Athena. She's an Eternal. We got a White Tiger version of White Tiger, mm-hmm. The Lady White Tiger, but not like the new White Tiger.
Yeah, I don't like this White Tiger. I think it's a useless character.
Oh no,
yeah.
she's completely useless.
She's just there just to go, Iron Fist.
Yeah.
You know, and then She-Hulk's there for some reason holding the body of Jim Hammond, aka the Human Torch android, and Scott Lang, and then one more pod with Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and apparently, so if you read this thing,
nope,
like I did, so apparently there was some stuff that went up in space.
They're basically, it was like they were fighting some guy.
Okay, so they're fighting this guy called the Master, and at one point they, and there's something to do with the Skrulls. Apparently the Skrull, people don't know who's who from these Skrulls. So the Master was, yeah, so he was going to sterilize the Earth's population with some, like, space age.
I don't know
whatever.
If it really matters with that, but...
No, like, it does, so- because... No, it just it does, because the Master... The Master gave Luke Cage a bunch of AIDS.
Well, no, it was like they, he was going to kill him, so Iron Fist gave him his chi, so...
He gave Luke Cage a bunch of disease, and Iron Fist
but
was
he,
like...
But he healed him, and he now that him. Fucked up Iron Fist, yeah. Which is really the only thing... For this book that we need to know.
Right. So anyway, so now he's...
And Luke Cage, by the way, he starts crying, and it just looks like somebody poured white paint on his face.
Why is he wearing that tiara again? Because
it's manly?
Because in the 90s, he, you know, stopped wearing the tiara, just started wearing some shirts and man sweaters, and then, you know...
I think this is before that, though. Like, I think right after. Like, I think.
What are you talking about? That came out in Cage, the series, the ongoing, came out in 93.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is 93. It was only around like 92, 93. And he was around wearing just regular clothes. And then all of a sudden, he's wearing this tight tiara again.
He likes it.
Maybe it helped him in space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's got power. Who knows? Maybe it helps his steel skin. I don't know.
So. Well, yeah, we all know he has steel skin. Hey, a Batman ad.
So then they're like, oh no, this guy's hurt. We got to take him to the Oracle.
So and I like here who the Black Knight calls upon the TriStar logo to bring his horse to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty impressive.
So he grabs it and they fly away. Then there's also this weird narration box on the next page where it's like, and the Oracle here is not the one in a wheelchair that talks to a certain pointy-haired dude. And you're like, all right.
Why are you casting shade?
Why'd you even put that? We know it's not the same Oracle.
You didn't need to put that. Why?
I mean, I guess Marvel likes to always, like, take cheap shots at DC whenever they get a chance to.
Oh, right? Fair enough. I mean, it just should say DC is terrible.
It should just be, like, a panel. It should be a panel of just Joe Quesada going over and punching fucking whoever was in charge of DC in the dick or whatever.
I don't think it was anybody. It was just, like, a random WB character just running around, just kind of making decisions.
Was it Bugs Bunny? I'm in charge.
Was it Pacey from
from Dawson's
Creek? Dawson's Creek.
It could have been. They're just like,
was
hey.
It? Was it Nikki Cox?
Was it just like a weekly rotation where it's like today you'll report to Pacey?
Yeah.
Next week it's Porky Pig.
It's like an episode of Raw where they have special guest hosts instead. It's like DC's like, oh, this person's gonna be the guest host of Sometimes DC it, this week.
You know
Maybe
what?
Maybe it'll be a computer next week. Who knows?
You know what? You're not wrong.
Sounds right, actually.
I would work for DC in a heartbeat, but
DC will never hire us.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel we still have a chance.
Okay.
I think they're not even going to bother listening to this.
Oh, no. They have things to do, mm-hmm. especially if they're like animated characters.
Yeah, right. So they're not real people. So they're not going to listen. Those people aren't going to listen to this. You know, maybe, I mean, I doubt, you know, maybe Jeff Johns.
Oh, well, you know, he's not busy.
You tweet at Jeff Johns and he actually favorites things for you.
I did once though.
I know, but that's more than
you know what it is? I told him he had nice shoulders because I was kind of drunk and like that got a favorite. And that's the only thing I've ever tweeted at Jeff Johns and I was so embarrassed. I was like, "What did I just do?"
Well, you tweeted.
What's wrong with me?
Well, that's how you get their attention. You're always
that's
wondering
horrible.
How you get
they shouldn't do that. That's unacceptable. What's wrong with me? That's the sort of behavior I frown upon.
That's how DC works.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with me.
No, not you.
Okay.
What? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm moving past my embarrassing story.
Okay.
So I'm trying to put it. So it's hard because this table's so big and it, the comic is so small.
We're so far away from the
floor. So I'm trying to make it so everybody can see it. So they take Iron Fist to the hospital.
What is She-Hulk doing here?
Nothing at the moment. So they take him in, and it's like he's hooked up to a ventilator, and they're talking to Dr. Jane Foster, who apparently has just become a doctor.
I know,
she was a nurse.
They're very excited to talk about that. They're very like, oh my God, she's a doctor. I'm like, yeah, women are doctors.
Yeah, I guess Jane Foster wasn't, I don't know, whatever. So she's a doctor, and she's reporting that he is not doing really well. Mm-hmm. Because he's had all, like, basically the life energy sucked out of him. So She-Hulk's there, and Luke Cage is there, and that White Tiger lady and Black Knight. And who's this chick with the blonde hair?
That's Athena. Yeah.
Athena. All right, so she's there, too. And so, like,
Athena.
Luke Cage is like, man, you know, he did this for me. I feel so bad. And then White Tiger's like, I'm going to kill you. I hate you. How dare you do this to Iron Fist? Because I guess she loves him or whatever. Who the fuck's that guy? Is that Hercules?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he looks weird, dude. I don't understand why he looks
He's
weird.
Also wearing a tiara, right?
When he was reborn, he didn't get any of his facial hair, so it's like now he has to gain it back, maybe.
Mm. They're like, here, put this on until you grow a beard.
He's gone through many outfits over the years. None of them good.
No. So they like haul White Tiger away. She's all upset. She's like, if he dies, I'm going to kill you, Luke Cage. And then She-Hulk apparently snaps her fingers, but it's supposed to be a snap, but it doesn't look like she snaps. She just sort of like holds her hand up. Like, I don't know. She's got a problem.
Like she should have some Mentos in her hand.
She absolutely should have Mentos.
Like, I know what we can do.
Let's eat these Mentos.
Yeah. And then we get some dramatic bullshit with, Misty Knight and
Misty comes in and she's
Misty
all upset.
And Misty and who else? Who's this other girl?
Who? Which one?
Is it Colleen? It's the Daughters of the Dragon, the Colleen Wing and Misty Knight. So they're all here and they're
really upset. Yeah,
they're really upset because she loves Iron Fist too.
Everybody loves Iron Fist, man. Apparently, dude's got some lady issues because he's got two chicks.
Yeah, we also figure out though. Apparently, apparently. Human Torch, or Jim Hammond, he's like the head of this Oracle Corporation that funds the Heroes for Hire, and he needs to make some sort of decision
because he was put there by Namor.
And he is, but they said that apparently the reason why, I guess, like, Torch had a he freaked out because something's been controlling his brain, and now he's shut down, but they have to figure out what's controlling his brain.
Yes.
And everything. So
they've got Iron Fist on one floor being taken care of, and like on another floor they've got Human Torch Android, where this is where Black Knight is like, I'm a scientist, doctor/guy who knows things.
Literally did not even know he was a scientist until yesterday.
They're like, put me in a white coat. That means I'm smart. So
he should be still wearing his helmet.
Yeah, he really should, but he's not. So it's him, and we've got Ant-Man,
and they're like, Ant-Man, you got to get small and go inside his brain and like
do
who's shit.
The other person? There's another person there.
Well, it's Athena and Hercules. They're just standing there being...
See, this is what I'm talking about, but too far away, I can't... No, it's okay.
I'm trying to move it along.
No, I know it's not that. I'm trying to make it so all of us can see, because I know Brian can't see it either.
Oh, I'm fine.
We need a big screen.
I know, we need like a much bigger comic book or something. So they're like, all right, well, you have to get small and like go in there and figure out what's been controlling his brain. So that's what he's gonna do. What does he say here? Oh, yeah. There's something about how, like, the Skrulls are, like, taking over people.
Yeah.
He says, like, oh, Captain America said that 1 in 3 humans may have been taken over by the Skrulls. And so Ant-Man's like, oh, man, are you a Skrull? And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, Athena, are you a Skrull? He's like, no. And he's like, oh, man, it must be 3 other guys. And Hercules gets all pissy and, like, stomps off with his weird iron legs. So he does. He has weird iron legs.
Yeah, he's got iron pants.
This guy?
Iron pants.
Not a good look. So,
how do you wear iron pants?
That's a great question. We should ask.
Well, I'm assuming if you're Hercules and you're super strong constantly, that you can wear a pant. Like, wearing iron pants is like wearing like stiff jeans that you just keep working in.
Yeah, his leg muscles just like bend the iron.
It's like, that's how fucking strong I am, guys. So they're like, all right, time for you to get small and go up his nose.
It goes in his ear.
No, it goes up his nose because he says, oh, no boogers here.
Oh.
See?
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. Oh.
No. No, because he has because Hammond has a beard, so that must be his.
Yes. That's his
mustache. I thought it was his ear, too, at first, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't, like, he's looking for ear boogers? Okay.
It'd be funnier if he was looking for ear boogers.
Ew, ear boogers.
I know he's an android, but man, that got fucked up, didn't it? So he wanders off into his nose. And so then we are back with Iron Fist.
So we're back with Iron Fist, and they're like, look, we need to, like, do some sort of, like, seance. We need to do
magic.
Dr. Strange ain't around. So
he's in his movie.
Apparently, this woman who was this administrator that works at this hospital was like, I know, I got a guy.
No, that was She-Hulk. She-Hulk gave her his phone number. Because that was She-Hulk's idea. That's when she was holding her Mentos.
Oh, that's right. And she's like, pops a Mento, and it's like, she just goes and finds Dr. Voodoo. Or, I'm sorry.
Brother Voodoo.
Brother Voodoo.
He might as well be a doctor.
So
he's also a doctor.
Do all superheroes just have, like, every other superhero programmed into their phones or something at this point?
I'm assuming,
like,
it must be.
You know, it's like,
it's like a download at this point. You know how you get your downloads to, like, upgrade your OS? And it's whenever somebody new joins, you just get a download to add a new contact.
Yeah.
You're like, sweet.
Yeah, don't. So
and you can't put anything else on your phone because it's full of fucking superheroes.
She had Brother Voodoo's phone. And she's like, hey, administrator lady.
Apparently they know each other.
Apparently they've been hanging. He kicks at the hospital.
Yeah, they're friends.
And he's like, hey, thanks for my tea.
I mean, honestly, the panel where Brother Voodoo shows up is cool as shit.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great drawing.
Yeah.
It's like there's all this, you know, bum, 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 bum in the background. And you got this cloud and he just looks sweet as shit.
Who's playing the drums?
I'm assuming it just follows him around.
Oh, okay.
He brings his own music.
Mm. All right.
Do you think he's got like a boombox under his cape and he just pushes play?
It's really inconvenient when he's fighting somebody. Or
he's like, hold on, I gotta change these double D batteries.
I got this giant boombox flapping in my back. Yeah.
So he shows up, and they're like, we gotta do a seance.
We gotta do like a mystic transfusion.
We gotta suck life energy out of you to make him better.
We gotta take all of our life. We all gotta take a little bit of us to make Danny living. That's what that's basically what he needs to do.
Which kind of actually makes sense. So I mean, I guess this is actually a comic that is trying to actually not, I don't know, be too off the wall.
Yeah, I mean it makes.
But he's drinking tea.
Well, yeah, he likes tea. But
this
normal
for me.
That's the thing. It's like, this is it's one of those very well-plotted stories where everything that's happening makes complete sense.
I don't like it.
I mean, yeah, sure, you're calling a mystic guy, but at the same time, you're like, well, it makes sense. He needs to get life energy. And then we're cutting back and forth between him and the Ant-Man thing, and that also makes sense. So
Ant-Man is not nearly as muscular here as he is.
No,
in the
not
other,
no.
Just FYI.
Yeah, Ant-Man looks like
he must have got popped for gas between the cover and the rest of the story.
Yeah, well, he looked like he was going to explode like a water balloon, and that would have been really gross.
He's yoked as shit.
Kind of cool. Yeah, so he's in the. So we go back to Ant-Man. Ant-Man is inside. But who the fuck? Human Torch.
He's inside Human Torch, and basically they're realizing that apparently he's also, not really that big of news, you know, news to the comic book kingdom, which I find to be kind of strange, that he's the same exact genetic makeup of the Vision.
Yeah, well, his schematics are the same.
His schematics are the same. I was like, yeah, that's what happened. If you would have read Vision's Quest, they're Black Knight, instead of hanging out in West Coast Avengers, instead of hanging out with the regular Avengers, you know, you would have known. But no, see, I knew.
Well. Technology wasn't they didn't have contact with each other through the East Coast and West Coast. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they only talked to each other via big screen every so often.
Well, it was kind of like the East Coast West Coast rap battle, which I'm assuming was exactly the same thing with the Avengers.
They
shot a couple other guys.
They would play softball to settle their differences once a year.
Did Biggie and Tupac play softball?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they told Hawkeye to tell him, and then Hawkeye was too busy doing other things and kind of being a dick, so he probably decided not to.
That sounds right, because Hawkeye really is useless.
He's
probably one of the most useless characters in all of comics.
They probably left a message, and Hawkeye was like, fuck it, delete.
Was he on a farm? No. Is he on his fucking farm like he was in that movie? He's like, hey guys, I know like the world needs help, but I gotta chop this wood.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta...
Fuck Hawkeye.
I like it, because I like having that in my game. There's a little farm you can go to. And
what, the Lego game?
Yeah, you can go to the farm, and you help build a tractor, and then you know, you could go around, smash things, and there's pigs. It's a good time. Lego games, good times.
Does Hawkeye, like, grab a pail of slop and, like, throw it at Captain America and, like, try to playfully, like, have fun with him?
Push him in the mud.
There's a bit of that in the cutscenes, because that's basically entirely what the Lego games are, just a bunch of ways to...
Make superheroes cute.
And when the adversity, like, when Quicksilver dies in that movie, like... They just have like an ice cream truck explode and everybody's covered in ice cream and you just don't hear from Quicksilver for the rest of the game. Yeah. But
so he doesn't technically die.
He doesn't die. Yeah, he doesn't die, and there's not like a big melt, you know, Wizardface doesn't have a big meltdown, you know. Anyway, so he goes in there, he's in the body, and there's defenses and stuff like that kind of interacting because he's an android and things are getting crazy and he's
tries to like fight them off, but in doing that he kind of like makes the Human Torch like have seizures, so he can't do that, so he like just has to escape.
Yeah, so now we're back to
lot is going on in this book.
It's a seance going on.
So there's a seance, and of course like White Tiger is like, I will do anything for Iron Fist, I will be here too, and like the Misty's just like glaring at him like, stay away from my man, bitch, and then that's it. That's all that happens there.
Maybe they could have had a cat fight and he would have woke up like,
well,
cat
she
fight.
Is a cat.
Yeah, literally a cat fight.
So then we're back with Ant-Man.
He gets to like the
apparently there's an emerald controlling this guy.
Okay, no.
It's a giant fucking emerald circle green.
It's
thing.
An infinity stone.
Is that what it is?
No,
because he couldn't destroy it. No, it's just it's like the mirror from Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to talk to it for a while. So he's like, oh, there it is. Oh, I'm being attacked by a fire cell. Oh, wait, it's the thing that gives him firepower. So now I'm a fire Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so cool.
I do like, though, that when he gets flamed on, that
looks kind of cool.
Well, because it's basically anybody would look. That because that's how they represent the plasma that covers the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when like Johnny Storm is, you know, covered in flame, and so it kind of
he's back to being muscly in that panel too.
He is.
Yeah, he's also back to being so he must have got on some roids and did a few pumps.
What, just like wandering up to the guy's brain? He's like, oh, thank God, here's this store of juice.
There was a gym.
There's like a gym with like a weird guy standing by a locker.
There was a guy
can hook you up.
There was a guy in a sleeveless trench coat selling them things.
Sleeveless trench coat.
Oh yeah, well that's how I imagine. Well, I told you about that. How I had a friend
who wore a sleeveless trench coat.
I had a friend to tell me about. I got another guy who's like apparently making he makes his steroids in his basement.
Oh, that sounds safe.
Yeah, and I was like, I just imagined that the only way that was being done that the guy was wearing a sleeveless trench coat while doing it.
Yeah,
because it was a guy that worked out at this gym. You know, and I was like, I just imagine being like, I'm doing science, you know.
Was it Black Knight?
Yeah.
Because he was like, I just put this sleeveless doctor coat on, and now I can make my own steroids.
Should the doctor coat have been sleeveless? It would be funny if he was just sitting there, like, trying to help Human Torch, and he just, a thought bubble's like, should my coat be sleeveless? Because I am a handsome superhero.
The answer is always yes.
Oh. Sleeveless supercoats, Brian, what do you think?
Well, I mean, especially in the 90s, I think everything was kind of sleeveless, so.
This is true.
I subsisted on sleeveless shirts from 98 to 2000.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's like I have a drawer that is literally just shirts that I no longer wear normally that I've just taken the sleeves off because that's what you do as a as a man that grew up in the 90s, where it's like you have to have at least like four sleeveless shirts in your.
I still have. Brian, do you realize I still have that diecast I already hate you shirt?
Yeah, you tagged me on Instagram like a year or two ago.
Yeah, I can't wear it because I'm too fat, but But I still have it, and one day I'll wear it again.
And it doesn't have sleeves.
I wish I would have saved some of the shirts that I've gotten rid of, just because I can be like, look, I can pass these on to my child at some point, and look, you can wear this tattered shirt.
Thanks, Dad, for this piece of cotton that's like barely holding itself together.
Well, maybe I'll do that with some of my other shirts that I have. Like, I get I'll be sleeveless shirt man.
You can make a blanket or something out of it.
Oh yeah.
See, Jen suggested that.
Yes.
And I don't know how that would have.
I was like, Sean, hold on to your superhero shirts instead of giving them away, because we can make a blanket out of them. And he didn't understand that I was talking about, like, you also like put another thing underneath it, so it's not just shirts.
Yeah, like
sewn together.
The part that's touching your body would be a different piece of cloth. Like,
yeah,
you have to like stuff it with
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I didn't realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah, he was like, I don't understand how it works, and I tried to explain it, and you still don't understand.
Hey, look, a town in Poland, Krakow.
Kabam.
It says Krakow.
It does. Is that where he got the juice?
Yeah, it's where the Android gym is that he was working out in.
Well, you know.
So apparently he comes back out through the nose as a fiery booger after he blows up the Sleeping Beauty mirror.
Yeah, the Emerald.
Yeah, and then apparently apparently that works.
Yeah,
question
sure.
mark. Yeah,
and
it
like,
works.
It yeah. also, and then we cut back to Iron Fist. That works for him. And everybody's happy, except, like, in, you know, he hugs Misty, and White Tiger's like, oh, I'm so sad. And, like, so she leaves.
And I have a question here. So what exactly is going on in this exchange here with this, her name is Miss Arbogast?
I think they're
going
to fuck.
That's what I'm thinking. She's like, she's,
I really do.
Because she's like, he's like, hey, thanks, you know, Brother Voodoo. And he's like, look, we can use a little emergency maintenance on the 13th floor. And he's like, 13th floor? Yes, I will come immediately.
I think they're going to have sex.
And I'm like,
that's my vote.
that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's just like,
it's code for fucking. And his eyes get really big. Like, he's super excited. So I'm thinking that he doesn't get to see this woman every once in a while, like that often. But when they do,
they probably didn't pay him. So he's probably yeah. like, hey, what am I going to get out of
well,
this?
They've got a friends with benefits
thing. I just saved this
guy
life, you know?
They've got a friends with benefits thing going on, is what I think.
The Brother Voodoo telltale game.
Not nearly as fun.
Not nearly as fun.
Not nearly as fun.
Equally as spicy.
No, not nearly as fun. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I have to play Batman the Telltale game. I'm going to do it.
So then we get...
Oh yeah, then She-Hulk's talking, and then the android's better. So She-Hulk's now talking to him.
He has a cat,
and he does have a cat.
He has a cat that's hanging out with that's buddying up with She-Hulk, and mm-hmm. then this is very 90s. She's wearing like a neck wrap. Do women still wear those?
What,
the neck wraps?
You mean a choker?
Choker.
Oh, they're coming back. Yeah,
are they coming back?
Uh huh. There was a girl last night wearing one, standing there waiting for sushi.
Oh, well.
They're coming back.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I used to wear those all the time. Goth. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he's got his cat. And basically.
I don't even know what they fucking talk about, because I don't really think it matters for my purposes, because I don't care about this book.
They're just like, look, you know, because he's talking
he's
about
like, I've
how,
been controlled.
He's, yeah, he's kind of having like a
blah,
crisis
blah,
thing.
Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Shut up. And then Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Oh, he has
like,
two cats.
No, that's the same cat. He just
no, he's
it up.
Holding one cat, and then there's
oh no, he does have two cats. That's very exciting. So then we go back to Iron Fist and Luke Cage, and they're like, "We're buddies forever." Like, cool bro handshake.
It ends like Tango and Cash.
It really does. And yeah. then that's it.
Because I think what happens is Iron Fist, because Iron Fist at this time, as helpfully pointed out in the bulletin, he's going to get his own miniseries. So he has to go off and do stuff. John Byrne has, I think John Byrne's writing it or whoever's doing it. And he's going to go off and just fuck around for a couple of issues. And, you know, he's like, all right, I'll see you later, you know. And Luke Cage is like, Tango and Cash. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. Hey, how did Luke Cage get an earring? Did he always have that earring? How can you get an earring if your skin is steel?
As I say, how can you...
Maybe he got it before
I don't remember him always having that earring.
I mean, it's possible.
I need answers. Sorry.
John's going to go to a panel and like track this guy down.
I'm just going
to
find, I'm just going to be like this. Standing there and just be like, oh, so in this one he has an earring. And they're just going to be like, remove this man.
Oh yeah. Like that question is going to get people get you removed. There's people who ask the weirdest shit at these panels. You know that.
Oh yeah. Actually, I'm actually looking forward to going to this wrestling panel. I think I'm gonna go to this wrestling panel today.
What, the Glow?
Well, it's like a wrestling psychology kind of panel too.
Oh no.
So it's gonna be maybe you should go to this too, Brian.
Yeah. After experiencing the Ric Flair panel back in Buffalo.
Oh, you wait for you watch out. From Smarty Pants is gonna come on here and just be like, I've got insider knowledge. Dave Meltzer is my dad's hey, Rick, friend.
Could you please tell that story you already told? I like that. That was funny.
Okay. Well, anyways.
So that was Heroes for Hire number 13.
Heroes for Hire number 13 from July
1998. Brian, would you read the next issue?
I probably would. I mean, it was interesting enough that it actually kind of, like, it makes you wonder what is going to happen. Nothing really actually developed in it other mm-hmm. than them finishing off the storyline
yeah.
from before. But it's written well, so...
That's true.
It's why not?
Very well
John
plotted.
Ostrander. He knows. He knows how to write a thing.
Mm-hmm. I would not read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to read it either. I mean, I try to be interested in Power Man and Fire Iron Fist, and you know, I can't get into it, and I don't care. I don't know why there's so many fucking people on this group. There's like a million people in this thing, and I'm just like, yeah.
I feel like it's like they're trying to make sure people didn't forget these characters existed. So they're like, hey, mm-hmm. we'll throw them in here for the time being.
And right. Put them in happens. The background.
Fart.
Yeah. I think that for me in general, like if there gets to be too many people on a team in a comic book, I kind of just sort of tune out
mm-hmm.
after
mm-hmm.
a while. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, too many. I can't keep you all mm-hmm. straight. No.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, fuck it. All right. Well, that's it for Heroes for Hire. We'll be back with our next book.
Hey guys, it's Adam Ray
and Josh Wolf, and we have a new podcast on the Sideshow Network called Good Call. It's a sports show for the casual fan. We aren't talking stats, no spreadsheets or in-depth analysis, nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just fan opinions that will make you laugh and think. So if you want to listen to it, download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/goodcall or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure how much thinking is being done.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network with our very special guest, Brian Merrick, who is just also happens to be related to me. he's my brother.
Yeah, for as it seemingly it's the Merrick last name is pretty common too, and we're not really related to most of them.
No, I know. We're not related to like I'm not even related to the other Sean Merrick that lives in Cheektowaga.
Is it spelled the same way, or is it the M-E-R-R-I?
No, it's spelled the exact same way, except his middle initial is C, and mine is A.
Oh, man.
He went on to become a track coach. I went on to produce a podcast where I talk about Justice League Europe.
Good job, babe.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to like have Sean as a brother when you were growing up? Was that like a good thing, or was it just like a, God damn it, it's a nightmare? Or
well, I mean, I don't know. It's... I feel like, well, he introduced me to things. I think I kind of probably pushed him in a certain direction too, because he was rather sheltered until like I actually became like, I don't know, until I kind of hit my stride and stuff, and like kind of like helped him, like while he was getting us into like concerts for free and stuff, I was actually like helping him like actually come out of his shell in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh. See,
be a metal guy. I was thinking I should have been like Brian and Sean, who have been brothers for most of their lives. like I remember that being in what was it? I'm blanking on it. The Every Time I Die's press release for Last Night in Town, and it says Jordan and Keith Buckley, brothers for most of their lives. Which I always thought that was funny. Well, thank you for saying that. I guess saying that I wasn't a terrible brother.
No, you weren't.
I'm a good guy.
Yeah, no, like it was fun growing up, because luckily we were into the same thing. So yeah. It's like, yeah, we kind of just like, it's like, hey, I bought this. Cool. I bought this. And like, we can just like share everything. Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, that was kind of how we were almost forced into that as we were talking the other day about it, how it's like, oh, hey, you got to buy this. Well, you got to buy one for your brother too. And you got to get this. And like, so it was cool having two brothers that we'd all have, like, our collections of toys and comics and mm-hmm. everything would grow rather quickly because of the fact that it's like, we had to get it all.
We all had G.I. You know, we had our own specific G.I. Joes, but then we all had G.I. Joes.
Right.
You know, and then I think we were actually we weren't as possessive mm-hmm. as most brother families are. You know, siblings could be, so mm-hmm. So we're pretty well adjusted.
Yeah, well, I think it's good too because you guys are the same age apart as me and my sister.
Yeah,
which is 3 years. I think that's a good age difference
mm-hmm.
because my sister and I were a lot the same way. We're into the same stuff. We shared the same shit.
Yeah,
I think it's good to have them 3 years apart.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, good job, parents of
ours. Good job, mom and dad. I guess. I don't know how proud they'd be. I'm on a podcast where I swear a lot. So, you know. Luckily, my parents don't know what podcasting is.
No, they'll never figure this out.
It doesn't matter how many times I try to explain what your job is.
Maybe at some point somebody will show her, but I think she's okay with not knowing.
No, my parents can't figure out how to download it.
I still don't think she knows that the podcast app exists on her phone.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
She looks at it and probably just like goes right over it and doesn't think it's a real thing.
Yeah.
She probably thinks she's not supposed to touch it.
Yeah.
That's probably what happens. She probably looks at a lot of her apps on her phone and goes, I think I'm going to break it if I touch it. Like she thinks it's something bad that Apple put on her phone to purpose. Which I'm saying, unfortunately, a lot of people that don't quite haven't figured out podcasts don't realize that it's that easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just move it to, you know, if they can, they'll move it off or they'll move it away. They probably delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they take it to whatever store they got it from and be like, can you take this off of here?
I think it's breaking my phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, but this podcast will not break your phone. It might break your spirit.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll totally break your spirit.
But it won't break your
phone. And you'll have no faith in humanity left. But we will not break your phone.
So let's get into our DC book. Justice League Europe. We did Justice League International, so technically this is a new thing for us.
Well, did you do Justice League International Volume 1 or Volume 2, though?
Volume 1.
Okay, so then, yeah, because Volume 2 is technically just Justice League Europe becoming Justice League International.
Well, I'm confused. Wait.
I kind of looked into it a little bit just to see what the difference was, and it looks like at a certain point in the run, Justice League Europe run, they changed it back to Justice League International and just started calling it Justice League International Volume 2. So this almost is the same thing, but not quite.
Whatever. Yes. It's the same character. I mean, a lot of the same characters, actually, because we have... okay, so basically, Justice League Europe number 14 from March... No,
90.
So May 1990. And on the cover, it looks like a film strip, and we've got a giant, scaly monster foot about to stomp the Justice League Europe, who consists of the Flash, Fire, Ice, Power Girl, and Elongated Man. And Flash is saying, uh-oh. And Elongated Man is freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Elongated Man's gross.
Because he's, like, he's, you know, he's all stretched. Like, his head's neck's all stretched.
But his eyeballs are all stretched.
He's stretching out his retinas to see.
No, he's stretching his eyeballs out of their sockets to like look at this thing.
Because he could stretch his retinas.
And it's really disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty freaky. You know, I mean, what?
You're shaking the table.
Sorry. So it's pretty freaky, and I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. So the big dinosaur foot coming down. So then on the inside.
Inside, we start off with a little preamble here, which apparently revolves around a character.
A dork, I guess. Like, does he get a name?
No, he doesn't, actually.
He's completely unnamed, so he's just the movie guy?
I had to look, I looked this back up, and I tried to find out who exactly, if this is a guy that appears in anything in the future. Nothing. Not even like doesn't even get an entry into DC Wiki. Fuck this guy. But apparently he's some sort of cinephile.
Yeah.
Who somehow,
He just really loves movies. So he's in his apartment and he's like, no, I'm not interested in sex. I don't want violence. But he's like going through his library of VHS tapes, because again, this is the 90s, trying to figure out what he's going to watch.
Well, this actually is 7 years ago, so this is actually the 80s, which makes it even weirder.
This is 1983?
Okay. Yeah, because for someone to have that many VHSs in 1983 seems kind of weird.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
he's got some Betamaxes in there too, you know?
Because he's talking about like he's going to watch Gone with the Wind.
That probably wasn't out.
I was going to say, was that even out at the time?
I don't think they got to that point. I don't think it's very limited. He must be like a millionaire, because VHS tapes are
back then. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of dough.
Yeah.
To pay for that. Cause I remember used to see that in like TV Guide and be like, you want to buy this? It's like $70. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Let's go to the video store. I'm going to win a chocolate bunny from the video store, which we did. And Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Mm hmm.
Did I ever tell you about my watching Revenge of the Nerds 2?
Maybe.
When I was 8, it was my penance, and I made my penance, and my dad was like, Sean, you're growing up.
Is this when you got the Big Mac or the double cheeseburger?
No, I got a quarter pounder. Okay. My dad says you're gonna move, you're graduating to the next level of burgerology.
And I'm pretty sure he didn't say
yes,
burger
out. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You wouldn't remember. You were 6.
I don't think I've ever heard Dad say ology for anything.
We did this one time. And with reference to burgers.
I guess he had to make it count.
He used it the one time in 1988 to say, Sean, you're going to move up burgerology. You can get us a quarter pounder, and we're renting Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise, to which we watched on VHS that evening in celebration of me receiving, being able to tell my sins to a priest.
You mean confession?
That's penance, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys call it penance? We always call it confession.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you make your first penance. It's a thing. You go penance, then communion.
It's like the sacrament.
Yeah, oh, no, I know. It's just that where the church I was in, it was literally called confession. It wasn't called penance.
Well, not when you go. I don't say I'm going to penance.
Oh, no, I know that. But like, they didn't call it your first penance. It was like, okay, it's time for your first confession.
I remember.
Like, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
And I went penance, communion, and I never did anything else.
Well, your church was wrong.
Well, I'm sure. No, my church was absolutely wrong. Like, my mom went to Catholic schools in Boston, right? And we go out, we're in Denver, we go to this Catholic church that's near our house, and like, my mom meets the nun, and she's wearing like a red leather miniskirt. She didn't have to wear the robes, and it was like, we had a cool priest, and like, my mom hated it, which is probably why we never went past communion. And then she was like, we're out, and I never went to church again.
That sounds like your mom.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyways, he's watching Revenge of the Nerds, or he's not watching Revenge of the Nerds. He's watching,
he's going to put Gone in the Wind.
I do like how this guy's like talking about it. It's like, yeah, you know, I need to start watching more movies.
Oh,
it's like, I should stop taking showers.
Yeah.
It's not like I really see anybody anyhow.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my personal grooming takes up too much of my time. If I don't shower, I'll get an entire like week's worth of time back or something.
Yeah, it's good.
And
good,
I mean, like, and this guy's personal grooming depicted in here is not very good to begin with.
No,
so it's not like...
It's not.
Is he picking his nose here?
I don't know what he's doing.
He's just pushing his glasses.
So like, he puts the tape in the VCR, and it like zaps him, and somehow his spirit gets transferred into the TV, into one of the characters, while his body like lays on the carpet, and he can like come out of the TV, and now he's Rhett Butler.
Right.
And he's like, oh, is this me? I don't know. So yeah. That's the beginning.
And then
and it's called the title of this book is You Ought to Be in Pictures.
So then that happens, and then he goes out and does like, you know,
it flashes back to present day.
He's living in Brooklyn, he's being a hipster. There's a lot of possibilities, a lot of jokes we can make here, but in the interest of time.
It looks like he's
Woody Allen.
He's Woody Allen.
Yeah, and he wants to be a celebrity impersonator, I guess, and people are telling him no. because of lawsuits, which I don't think that's a thing.
I think he's just bad at it.
Well, if he's not showering, he's a stinky celebrity impersonator.
First of all, he reeks ass. Second of all, you know,
he's terrible.
But I don't know if he actually smells because his body stays.
Oh, that's right.
So like he takes over like it's a new body.
But his mind takes over the bathing habits of this new person. So as Woody Allen,
Woody Allen smell?
Well,
I've never had the opportunity to meet Woody Allen.
I would think that Woody Allen doesn't have a great smell. He probably doesn't smell bad.
Probably smells like old books.
Yeah. He's probably a little musty.
Yeah, that's probably right. Mothballs, maybe.
If you have met Woody Allen before,
tweet us and let us know.
Tweet us and let us know how he smells.
Does he smell like
does he have an elderly musk?
I'm certain.
Because I know sometimes, you know, living in Cheektowaga.
Oh, old people.
Yeah, you go to old people. I mean, I've been to a number of old places, old people places. Brian knows what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
There's an old person musk. They should make a candle out of that.
Oh no. No one wants old musk.
I don't
musk.
Know, but just to kind of keep people away.
What, like granddad's old balls? Like you want that on a candle?
Just as a preventive candle.
You have your grandparents coming into town and you need to like make them feel comfortable. Like you just light one of those candles.
Here's
real quick, Brian. So I don't know if you ever heard this. So apparently somebody that makes candles made a Hill's snack bar candle.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So Hill's used to be basically like our Target.
Okay.
One of our many versions of Target, mm-hmm, in Western New York, and they had a very distinct smelling snack bar because it was like.
Is it bad?
No, it was
like your basic snack bar with popcorn.
It was like popcorn, but it also like smelled of like slushy.
Yeah.
And like it had a very distinct aroma.
It was like a sweet, buttery smell kind of thing.
Okay.
Sweet, buttery, but also a little bit fruity.
Okay.
I remember it being fruity because I remember that's where the only place where I knew they had slushies. And that's where they had...
Did you not have 7-Eleven?
I didn't go into 7-Eleven.
Actually, we didn't really have 7-Eleven in like Western New York. Like there were one or two growing up until like just recently when they like bought out stuff because we had like
Wilson Farms.
We had Wilson Farms, which was like, you know,
like a local place.
Yeah.
That is so weird. Okay, so like I grew up in like the flyover in tract housing where everything's a fucking chain. So like I had the Targets, the 7-Elevens, whatever. Like you guys had all these like actual unique local places. So it like blows my mind when Sean tells me he didn't go to Target when he was a kid. I was like, "What do you mean?" It's like where everybody went.
Western New York didn't really hit like chain
I mean, it didn't really hit chain stuff until like the late 90s.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Because that's when we got our first Targets and first Walmarts.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we always have McDonald's and shit and, you know, stuff like that. But we also had a lot of very, you know, distinct
local shit.
Local, like, you know, like Hills, you know, like your department stores, like Hills and Ames and Gold Circle and.
When it got to the point that all these places were like closing, mm-hmm, that's when all the chains kind of came in and bought all the real estate. And,
okay.
Yeah. So. Huh. Yeah. No, it was very. We're Buffalo is true to its. Was always for a long time was very steadfast to a lot of its institutions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, guys, history. So anyway, so this guy is mad because he's like, I can't even enjoy life in films anymore because he keeps, I don't know if this is voluntary or involuntary.
You know, that it never really
it feels like it's involuntary.
Yeah, it's weird. So he can't really enjoy films anymore because he changes into characters and then he says he has an irresistible drive to change into Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, apparently he did at one point.
He says he liked to, he said it was irresistible.
Oh, he tried. It was something where he kind of has to. It's involuntary, but he can fight it. I guess I don't know. So apparently,
I think he has to think of the character that he wants to turn into, and then that's that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's something like
so. Basically, so long story short, because I was prologue here. So he's sitting around in his apartment, and he hears. Lifestyles and Rich and Famous on TV,
mm-hmm,
and he just happens to see Flint Clintwood, who that could be anybody.
Gee, I wonder who it could possibly be.
He sees Flint Clintwood on the screen, and
hey, very veiled stand-in.
Yeah. And and instead of yelling at a chair, he's sitting on a chair.
With babes.
With babes. So somehow he doesn't change to just a random babe.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's why I think he has to like be like, I want to be that character. Because
at one point he wanted to change it to Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
So why couldn't he just want to be like, I want to be a hot chick?
I'm just gonna the thing. It's like he doesn't just like change into the extra in the background. He changes into Woody Allen or... Yeah.
It might be the main character of the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, he changes into a dog later.
I didn't know that. That's weird. But yeah, he just changes. So he changes. So apparently we're supposed to believe he changes into Clint Eastwood or whatever this is. So now we're into Cannes. We're at the Cannes Film Festival. And apparently there was something where the JLI or the Europe people...
have been sent to do something.
Yeah, so it's like Captain Atom was like, hey, Flash and Power Girl and Ralph and Sue, go to Cannes and do something.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking whatever douchebag, I can't, Elongated Man, he really bothers me.
I don't like Elongated Man at all.
Yeah, he really
It really upsets me that he constantly stretches even when he's not doing anything.
So what is the point of him? Like, I mean, DC already has Plastic Man.
Right.
Isn't it really the same thing?
I think they just kind of, you know what it is? Because Plastic Man, I don't think, was always a DC guy. I think he was like a different, like, creator thing, so they
Didn't he die at some point? I mean,
who, Plastic Man?
Everybody in DC died at some
point. Plastic Man had some sort of thing where he got, like, blown up into a bunch of pieces, and then all those pieces had a separate conscious, and they all lived, and for like 1,000 years or something.
Oh, God.
It was really like a horrible, horrible thing, and and then he came, and then they got put back together, and he was insane or some bullshit. I mean, an Elongated Man and his wife were killed, and Sue Dibney took it. It got really bad. Sue Dibney had a pretty bad last couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say that
wasn't there even in like the Justice League cartoon when. It wasn't. Was it Elongated Man? It was somebody.
No, it was Elongated Man.
It was somebody.
It was a Booster Gold episode.
Yeah, and he was like, "Oh no, we already got a stretchy guy," and he like wouldn't use the other one because there was already like one of them was there.
Yeah, and like Elongated Man's like, you know, and Elongated Man voiced by Jeremy Piven, by the way.
Hmm.
So they had this thing where
this fits.
What?
This fits.
Oh, this fits.
No, this fits.
Yeah.
Because what I don't like about him is the fact that every panel he's in, he's stretching some part of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it if he's in, like, they're supposed to be just regular people. They have secret identities. What the fuck is he doing?
He's never had a secret identity.
Ugh, but still,
but like, then again,
you're drawing attention to everybody in this group if you're supposed to be on some mission.
He's drawing attention to Wally's tiny baggy shorts.
Yeah, he does have some tiny baggy shorts. They're pleated, like to say.
Those are some Izod pleated khakis.
And he is freaking everybody out around him.
Oh, yeah,
he's
like creepy as shit, dude.
All the random people are like freaked out by him.
Yeah, because his neck is like a giraffe right now.
Yeah.
And so he's like checking out this billboard, and he's like, "Whoa, ooga, babes!"
There's like a random billboard of babes, and there's also Batman 2.
There's a Batman billboard, and then there's also like Wally taking pictures. Now, here's what I don't get. All right, they are walking down a street.
Yeah,
there is no beach that you see in any of these panels. Everybody else
it's
is
right
wearing,
by the water, though. That's
yeah,
where
but there's
is.
But where they don't draw it. So basically, these chicks are just walking down the cobblestone street in bikinis and no shoes. Mm. How gross is that? They
very
probably have
concerning.
Like ringworm or some shit.
Very concerning. So apparently they're flarbing around. Wally sees a...
He wants to go see a movie.
He wants to go see a movie, and apparently they're showing at Cannes, they're also showing Bulimic Vampire Ninjas 3, The Final Purge. Which...
I'd
funny.
Watch that movie.
I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna watch it.
We saw vampire strippers or zombie strippers.
Zombie strippers. We've seen a lot. We own Death Spa on DVD on Blu-ray.
Oh, dude, Death Spa is great. Fucking.
We've talked about
movie.
Death Spa many a time here, and So apparently, he's checking out, and then he sees. So Elongated Man sees
Fire and Ice,
because apparently they didn't know that they were invited to Cannes to do something, but they're there. And he sticks his head. He surprises him. Sticks their head.
He sticks. He's like fucking Silly Putty. It's really gross. And he like sticks his head in between them from like 4 feet away. And of course, they get scared because it's just like some fucking head just floating beside you. So of course, like, ice punches him or fire punches him and his head snaps backwards. What is that, like 10 feet and like hits the ground?
Yeah.
And everybody starts laughing and they're like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'd be like, you fucking deserve that.
He also has a major concussion. And they're also, they're doing the whole laugh about the Guy Gardner one punch thing, which I'm like, don't
do it here.
It's like, this is poor.
It's enough to know that it happened.
So apparently, we assume that this guy went to.
Yeah, he went to Cannes. So he's also in town for the film festival and he is Flint Clintwood,
yeah.
Which, this is 1990.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood did not look like this in 1990. This dude
shit. No, listen, though. He did watch Dirty Harry, though.
Dirty Harry. Oh, that's right.
From 1970.
But he wasn't ripped to shit in that, either. He was just, like,
probably in much better shape.
Yeah, but he was an average guy in shape. He wasn't Mr. Six-Pack Abs. That was, like, that's not a thing.
He's doing fine.
Plus, Clint Eastwood was kind of hairy, too, isn't
right?
he?
Like, yeah.
He has a hirsute man.
Yeah, shouldn't he have chest hair? Hence Dirty leg Harry. Hair? Was that it? Was that people were like, oh, it's dirt. Never mind. It's just chest hair.
Yeah. Dirty? No, it's hairy. So apparently, though, they're like, hey, it's Clint Eastwood. And they're and trying they're like, to.
That doesn't make sense.
And they're kind of like, hey, he said he was like, he just showed up with like nothing. And he just took over. You know, he didn't.
Yeah, because this guy sucks at doing anything.
Yeah.
So he is doing a bad job at pretending to be Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he's not a good swindler.
So a stereotypical French man with a tiny little mustache calls the police. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the cops go up to him and are like, we need the greatest cop that's ever lived to help us with something. And so, of course, he goes with them because he's an idiot.
Well, they do this while this guy is actually like trying to like hook up with these girls, and he's like, you want to see my magnum?
Oh, yeah, he does say that. Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah, he basically keeps talking about
come
how
to my room.
He says he believes.
See my magnum.
Why do you, he's like, he's talking to this woman. He's like, why do you think I did that movie with the orangutan? Because I believe in orangutans.
That was that movie they did on We Hate Movies.
Any Which Way But Loose or Any Which Way You Can. Yeah. Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, no, that's what it was.
Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, and so he like wants to show these ladies his dick, but unfortunately he gets
thankfully
thwarted.
The French guy shows up before he whips out his dick. Before he's like, hey, all right, I'm Flint Clintwood pulling out my dick.
What would it be like that scene in Boogie Nights where he's just like thwop? He just thwops it on a table.
I wish this was real life and it was like Clint Eastwood took his dick out of Cannes.
I mean, it could have happened back in that time because there wasn't the internet or anything, so nobody really knows.
Like, yeah, there's no video.
What do you mean? I didn't take my dick out of Cannes.
Maybe that's what he should have done instead of talked to a stool. It would have had the same effect.
Just took his dick out. Took his dick out on a stool. Could have worn some. Yeah. Anyways, so he just. So, you know, we got a bunch. Well, now we even get. Well, also get. Now, Wally. Flirting with
Wally is laying down some shit lines too,
because he's like, so what are you ladies doing here? And they're like, oh, it's a pleasure trip. And he's like, well, I know a few things about pleasure myself. I'm like,
ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually they even whisper to each other, they're like, did she buy that? And they're like, oh yeah, she swallowed it like a spider swallowing a fly. So I don't know if that means that Wally's in for a little bit more than he bargains for.
Wally's involved in a lot of adult moments in the Justice League thing. He gets a blowjob from Enchantress. Who the fuck's that?
Blowjob? I thought he got. I thought that was sexing.
Well, it was. Yeah, maybe it was a pleasure trip. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. In the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's not restful.
No, that's not restful at all. So as they're like sitting there and Wally's hitting on fire, the cop car drives by with the guy in the back and he's like, oh, I got to get out of this. How am I going to get out of this? And so here's where his power confuses me, because he sees a billboard with like Godzilla on it.
Well, it's not a billboard. It's a video screen. It's like one of those.
Is it a video screen?
Yeah, because it's moving. You can
okay,
tell.
So that was my question. I'm like, if it's just a billboard, how did he do that?
No, he's watching like the screen. Apparently, Cannes is also showing Godzilla.
It's a trailer
or a thing. Apparently, Cannes sucks. It doesn't show good
movies. It's just nothing but Michael Bay movies.
I was gonna say, is this a preview of the of the 90s Godzilla with
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick.
Oh, that was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Is this where they got the idea? They're reading this comic. They're like, yeah, we should.
It kind of looks
Godzilla.
Like Godzilla.
And you're like, you know who should be in that movie? Matthew Broderick.
He kind of looks like Godzuki here, though.
Yeah. So he sees him and he's like, yeah. And so he is now Godzilla.
I'm listening.
And he jumps out of this screen, which I thought was a billboard. And he's like, oh, I didn't realize I would be so big.
He didn't realize he would be so big. And then everybody, you know, I gotta say here, this is a guest penciler because it's not Bart Sears doing this, who normally does the things here. And the faces and stuff here, I mean, I wish Kevin McGuire was drawing this because he is so good at drawing faces. And normally he's done a lot of this JLE, but this is, everybody here just looks terrible. Not terrible, it just looks weird.
Yeah. So the cops like start shooting this thing, and he's
like, trying to like not hurt people, but at the same time,
He's gigantic, and so then obviously the superheroes start doing their thing, and he was like, I was trying to meet women, and now they're just flying around and hurting me.
Yeah,
I guess we're supposed to feel bad for him and his Magnum. Then
he doesn't want to be a villain, he just wants to get laid.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
So now here's where his powers get even more weird, because he's like, I gotta change into something so I can get away.
Yeah, something not big.
Nothing not big. And then
he sees a movie theater.
Sees a theater, but he's like, I can't see what's playing.
Maybe he can't read as a monster. Or it's too small.
It's too small, but I mean, he all of a sudden, he can't read
what's on the marquee.
But doesn't he have to be able to see the screen?
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, because if he can't, I don't know how he gets into the theater to see what's playing, but somehow he does, and they go into the theater after him, and he becomes, I think it's on the next page, like a chainsaw guy.
He goes to see Chainsaw. Well, apparently Chainsaw Cookout is playing.
Oh, yeah. He becomes, what's it called? The Chainsaw Chef or something? The Chainsaw...
Because, again, this would be a movie that'd be playing at Cannes.
Absolutely. Like, why wouldn't you want...
He looks like Wild Dog, actually.
And, of course, Elongated Man is like, let me put my neck, which is probably a very important part of my body, like 19 feet through this door.
Up to a chainsaw.
Up to a chainsaw.
Up to a fucking chainsaw.
Yeah, he's called the Chainsaw Gourmet.
Oh, okay.
That's how
Bobby Flay started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, totally. And so they're like, "Oh,
you're a cook, Brian. Maybe you can take this. You can do this."
Yes, that'll be my Halloween theme for next year.
Chainsaw Gourmet.
Chainsaw Gourmet.
Make a chainsaw pierogi. I don't even know what that would be. It's full of metal.
Ew! It's full of
delicious metal. So he's like, I don't want to hurt you. And they're like, but you have a fucking chainsaw.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I got to go into another theater. And so he does. And then he becomes a dog.
He becomes a dog. Apparently it's a movie about a dog. The Warm Fuzzy World of Winky. Rated G. Showing at Cannes. Apparently they also show fucking Benji movies at Cannes.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, thank God. I'm out and about. I hope no kid or... dog catcher sees me.
Yeah, I hope I don't become loved.
And so that's it. He just walks away, and then we're at the airport with the team because they're going home. Apparently, that was their mission.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, apparently their mission, and then apparently they have to leave,
or they got called back
because Captain Atom is like, you guys, because he's, you know, Captain Atom's in charge of their stuff, and Captain Atom's just like, you guys fucked up, get home. You know, and then there's some sort of,
but I don't understand how they fucked up.
Because there's a big chaos thing.
But they didn't do it. It just showed up.
Well, I don't know. They kind of
should be lucky that they were there to stop things from happening.
Right. He's like, well, fuck it. Just go home. And so they're like, okay. So they leave. There's some bullshit about like Fire and Ice being in trouble with John, but not really. None of that. It doesn't matter.
Not really. And like, I think Wally calls her abroad.
Yeah. Oh, no. He doesn't call her abroad.
Who does he call abroad?
This chick.
Ice?
No.
Who's a Power Girl.
Power Girl, because he's like, hell, what does he say? Hell, I'm on the wrong team. And he goes, for once we agree. And he goes, great, wit, the first thing I look for in a broad. Keep your mouth shut, bitches. Jeez. Basically is what
he's
saying.
Calm down, Wally.
I don't like it when girls think, unless they're thinking about my Magnum. So there, they get on the plane.
I know a few things about pleasure. Shut up.
Well, you call yourself the fastest man alive. I don't know.
Maybe his libido is just going way too fast. Mm. He just needs to.
Well, it's just like when he's like, I'm the fastest man alive. You're like, is that something I want? Like, really?
So there's a bunch of so they tension
get on,
and.
Well, no, they like get on the plane. And Wally's still upset because he's like, I don't understand where that monster guy went.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what happened, whatever. And he's like, well, don't worry about it. Just eat. And like Elongated Man like makes his nose do weird
shit.
Because
that's the thing, because that's his gimmick, is that he's like, hey, a mystery wiggle, 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 my ugly nose.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and Wally's like, gross, dude. I just ate airplane food and I don't want to throw it up. And they're like, oh, hey, maybe there'll be an in-flight movie. And then, of course, sitting there is that guy in his actual body.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, God, I hope not. And that's it.
See, now, how did he get his actual body?
Because he went back, because he probably got back up to his hotel.
But how did a dog get up to a hotel room?
It took an elevator.
Yeah, but how did he open the door?
Somebody opened the front. We're like, hey, dog.
Sure, you can go into this hotel room where there's this a dead body. Sleeping body, like how does that work?
They're like, hey, he's like, bark. He's like, oh, your dead body's upstairs. Let's go.
Yeah,
it's not like there's a key for him to.
Right, he doesn't have thumbs either.
Well, he did it.
And
then,
And
then we're in Russia. We're at one of the Justice League International places in Russia, and apparently the toilet's clogged. And then
yeah, it's a big fat lady.
And then when That's the lady joke. That runs, I forgot what her name is, but she runs
big this, fat lady.
She opens the door, and apparently Blue Jay, this is Blue Jay.
Okay. I thought it was just some sort of, like, horribly malformed being.
I didn't know that. I thought so, too. But then I did my research.
Oh.
And I found out this is Blue Jay, who apparently is just a useless superhero who is a part of the Justice League International occasionally, and he can turn really small and fly.
So he's like Wasp?
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything that Wasp can do. He just kind of flies. And
he's like laying on her porch like a cat just fucking dropped him off. Yeah. And he's like, help me. That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, actually, that's what I thought it was like. I thought it was that guy.
Yeah.
I was like, did he see a movie where he had to become that? Like, what did he just watch? But no, and then that's it. They never catch that guy. Apparently, he never comes back.
Yeah.
So there's just some guy wandering around the DC universe who can impersonate any celebrity.
Yeah, he never. I don't think he ever comes back in there. I think it's time that he has a guest spot on Flash.
This actually would be a Flash episode.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has a thing where he just keeps turning into TV things.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and then we could use TV people. You can use. I mean, Kevin Smith will do it in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, Kevin Smith will just
this,
like
this could be the crossover event for next year.
I like it.
That's a good idea.
I do want to say I do enjoy their title of their letters page. Mm-hmm. It is just your opinion.
That's good.
That's fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God damn it. I love it. Good job, Justice League Europe. So that's Justice League Europe number 14 from May 1990. Would you read the next issue of this?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like these things. They're stupid.
I didn't particularly like this one, but I might read it.
Mm. Yeah, I probably would. I probably would. I can't say why.
Yeah.
But I'd probably be like, let's see what happens in the next one, and then I'll determine if this is actually worth my time or not.
Yeah.
As long as there's not, if there's too much Elongated Man, I think, of the next issue, I probably
would. Yeah, he's all over these things.
I really don't like him.
Yeah, he's all over this
shit. He creeps me out.
You just have to deal with it.
He's gross.
Yeah.
Sorry, Elongated Man, you're gross. They even refer to him at one point. They're like, you have a latex head. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? He has no skin? What's... Ew.
He drinks that soda and it makes him weird.
Why didn't he get cancer? Like,
what?
Like Captain Marvel got cancer. So shouldn't he get some weird elongated soda cancer? If it's fucking with your cells to the point where you could stretch your neck out 10 feet.
I don't know.
Elongated soda cancer? Is that a thing we could all have?
Well, the good news is it's DC, so they'll find a way to get rid of them whenever they need to and bring them back as they need.
That's true.
Yeah, they do that pretty good.
They just kill everybody, mm-hmm. except Batman. He's the only one who can.
He's the only one that can live forever.
Oh, he dies and comes back. It's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah, he's always that.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week's show. I want to thank Brian Merritt,
my brother. Yeah, thanks, Brian.
No problem.
For most of my life to come join us today. And
except for that 2 years in the 80s.
Mm, Yeah, I know. It was a rough 84 to 85. We weren't sure. And then I was like, okay, good.
We're brothers again.
We're brothers again. Where can people please promote stuff that you have? You have a very wonderful business that you run.
Yeah.
Well, I do make some homemade pierogi back in Buffalo. If you want to check me out on Facebook or Twitter, it's just Pockets of Pride on both. So,
and they're really good.
Take a look and
What kind of stuff do you make?
No, I do all the traditional kinds that you would have.
Well, tell people what a pierogi is.
A pierogi is basically a Polish version of a ravioli, for the lack of a better term. It's a stuffed pocket of dough. So,
and it's delicious.
We generally, Polish people eat ones either with sauerkraut or farmer's cheese or potato and, you know, whatever else with the potato. So I make all those. I also try to, you know, mix it up a little bit. I do, you know, a beef on weck style. I do a buffalo wing style. I do whatever I can, like whatever just kind of pops up in my head. I recently actually just made a funfetti one that I stuffed with a berry cream cheese filling, and, you know, it came out pretty decent, and people seem to enjoy it. So if you want to know more about it, go and check me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're really good.
Pocketsofpride.com, right?
Pitching that out there.
No.
What?
It's just
Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have a site?
No.
So Pockets of Pride on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
And do you have a personal Twitter you want to share? Or?
I don't really use the Twitter too much. If you want to check out like whatever I drink through Untappd, that's basically what my personal Twitter is.
Through Untappd?
Untappd is a beer app that you log in.
Oh, that's cool.
How about that?
So
you can like keep track of like what beers you've tried.
My biggest fans on Twitter are basically breweries being like, hey, good job for trying our beer.
So it's like a way to like keep track of what you tried and like what you like. And
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
how about that?
So
yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, as well as Instagram, Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. Also my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And thank you for listening. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes if you think we deserve it. Please check out SideshowNetwork.tv on Twitter, on Facebook. Well, I mean, Sideshow Network on and iTunes.
On the things.
On all the things. Please support our shows. Please support the podcast. And we really appreciate it. And thank you for listening, folks. We will see you again next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Andrew Steven, and you probably don't know me. But I host a show about comedy, the internet, and television. It uses NBC's new streaming comedy channel, CISO, as a jumping-off point to tell stories like Looking for Bill Murray.
The path eventually led to Bill's youngest brother, Joel. Someone knew Joel.
That's me. I've always been a boxer's guy, and Billy. My brother Ed, who's the oldest. My brother Brian.
Prank calling Steve Martin.
But the best thing that we would ever do is we had a 2-line phone system in our house. So we would dial one number, like we would dial Steve Martin, then we'd dial Martin Short, and then we'd conference call and take ourselves out of it, and they would both be like,
oh, what's up, Steve? Up, Martin.
Plus, the UCB's Matt Besser sings
Cannabis oils, butter, wax, and shatter.
Kulop Vlasak talks about how she created bajillion-dollar properties.
It was going to be 2 female real estate brokers, and we were going to call it 2 broker girls.
And Dan Harmon teaches me how to write a story.
Like, with only a couple of lies, you can make a hero out of a villain.
So if you like comedy, you watch CISO, or you just like interesting stories, be sure to subscribe to the CISO C Show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts.